Welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Howdy.
Good to see you all. I really enjoyed our Spanish service today, and I'm really glad to be here again. The Spanish service gets me here more often and gets me fellowshipping, if that's a word, with you all more often, and I'm thankful for the time that I can be with you all and that we can get into the Word of God together and celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ together. This morning, Brother Glenn talked about the relationship between husband and wife and how the plan of God makes that relationship work right. Our obedience to the plan of God makes that relationship work right. And he talked about that relationship being compared in the Word of God to Christ and the church. Christ being the husband and the church being the bride. And that's more what I'm going to talk about tonight. Is our obedience to the plan of God in becoming the perfect bride of Christ. I'm going to start in the fourth book of Nephi. And in the first verse. That's found on page 681, fourth book of Nephi, first verse. This is in the 34th year on this land. And this was after Christ had shown the church, shown his disciples how to live. And they began doing what he said. And what we're going to read is the result of what happened to their obedience to the commandments of God. In the first verse it says, "And it came to pass that in the 34th year passed away, and also the 35th. And behold, the disciples of Jesus had formed a church of Christ in all the lands round about." You see, they were obedient. They sacrificed. They asked God to guide them, and the Holy Spirit guided them. And that's how they were able to form the Church of Christ in all the lands round about. And in verse 2, "And as many as did come unto them and did truly repent of their sins were baptized in the name of Jesus, and they did also receive the Holy Ghost." And I want to stop there, because what we're reading in that verse is the fulfillment of the doctrine of Christ. And I want to read that doctrine. It's found in the 5th chapter of the third book of Nephi, when Christ taught this people what his doctrine was. It's found in the 5th chapter of the third book of Nephi, and in the 32nd verse, page 634, and this is the doctrine he taught. It says, "Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, that I will declare unto you my doctrine, And this is my doctrine. And it is the doctrine which the Father hath given unto me. And I bear record of the Father, and the Father beareth record of me. And the Holy Ghost beareth record of the Father and me. And I bear record that the Father commandeth all men everywhere to repent and believe in me. And whoso believeth in me and is baptized, the same shall be saved. And they are they which shall inherit the kingdom of God. And whoso believeth not in me and is not baptized shall be damned. Verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine, and I bear record of it from the Father. And whoso believeth in me and believeth in the Father also, and unto him will the Father bear record of me. For he will visit him with fire and with the Holy Ghost. And thus will the Father bear record of me, and the Holy Ghost will bear record unto him of the Father and me, for the Father and I and the Holy Ghost are one. And again I say unto you, ye must repent and become as a little child, and be baptized in my name, or ye can in no wise receive these things. And again I say unto you, ye must repent and be baptized in my name, and become as a little child, or ye can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Christ wanted to make clear to us what his doctrine is. He repeated it. And in verse 41, verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine, and whoso buildeth upon this buildeth upon my rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. And whoso shall declare more or less than this, and establish it for my doctrine, the same cometh of evil, and is not built upon my rock, but he buildeth upon a sandy foundation, and the gates of hell standeth open to receive such, when the floods come and the winds beat upon them. Therefore, go forth unto this people and declare the words which I have spoken unto the ends of the earth. You know, Christ gave this same doctrine at Jerusalem to his apostles in Mark, in the book of Mark chapter 16. In the 14th verse. And he was speaking to his apostles after he had been resurrected and had appeared unto them. And it says in verse 14, afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. You see, he'd gone through his whole life showing them miracles. And some of them doubted that he had been resurrected. And so he upbraided them. Because why? Because of their little faith, their unbelief. And upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. You see, we live in a world where other gospels are preached. Many preachers preach that all you have to do is accept God and you're saved. When we were in Honduras, the Spirit of God led me to preach one night at our home, at my mother-in-law's home, led me to preach this gospel of Christ. And he gives it in plainness. Well, the next few nights there was a preacher, a very famous preacher. I guess maybe he's famous here, I'm not sure. But people were coming from all over Honduras and even from other countries right there to Don Lee, where my mother-in-law lives, to hear him preach and to see him heal. And I was able to warn them that many people are preaching that all you have to do is accept. And that gate is wide, where many people are going in thereat. And they're thinking they're saved because they've accepted Jesus. And they haven't read his word here in Mark that says they must believe and be baptized. And that's what we're fighting against here in the Church of Christ. We're fighting against that doctrine of the devil. He seeks to, as the Book of Mormon says, bring people into this carnal salvation. Lull them in so that they don't read the word, so that they don't keep the commandments that Christ taught. And so this is the doctrine of Christ, that we must believe and be baptized. And it says in 17, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen, it says. That's what happens when the plan of God works. When we're obedient as a church, as individuals, to the commandments of God, signs will follow our belief. Signs do follow our belief. I'm going to return back to where I was reading in the fourth book of Nephi. And I'm going to continue in the third verse. "And it came to pass that the 36th year..." Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I'm going to repeat the second verse. "And as many as did come unto them did truly repent of their sin..." Excuse me. "And did truly repent of their sins, were baptized in the name of Jesus, and they did also receive the Holy Ghost." God fulfilled his word. When we read in the doctrine of Christ there, that he would baptize them, that they'd be baptized, that he would baptize them with fire and the Holy Ghost. And that's what happened here. They were obedient to his word. And so therefore, and they trusted him, and they trusted in the merits of Christ. And so therefore they received the Holy Ghost. And in verse 3 it says, "And it came to pass in the 36th year, the people were all converted unto the Lord." Can you imagine that? What a joy that if we were obedient, we were so obedient to the word of God that we were out there. And I'm not saying some of you aren't. I know I haven't always been obedient to the word of God. And this is something I said in the Spanish service today, that while I was in Honduras, I didn't have to work, and during that time I was able to fast and pray more and read more of the Word of God, and I just, because of that, I began to trust in God for almost every moment of the day, what I was to do. And it was so neat to see The word of God fulfilled, as it has been in the word of God, fulfilled when I was being obedient, fulfilled in me, and seeing that take place. And I want that every day. I want that here. And so I began to pray more here and ask God to help me be more obedient and more trusting in Him every day so that I can do here as I was, see His word fulfilled in my life here as it was those 2 weeks in Honduras. And so when I said, can you imagine that? I want to imagine that in my life here today. I want to be obedient to His word and see His word fulfilled every day. I desire to see us all converted unto the Lord. Why not desire that? Christ, it said, God willed that all should be saved. I think we should will likewise. And what a joy it must have been. The people were all converted unto the Lord upon all the face of the land, both Nephite and Lamanite. And there were no contentions and disputations among them, and every man did deal justly one with another. And they had all things common among them. Therefore there were no rich and poor, bond and free, but they were all made free and partakers of the heavenly gift. The heavenly gift to me, that's speaking of the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine if they were all converted? They all had the Holy Ghost. Of course, except for little children who were already under the mercy of Christ. They all comparted in that. I'm sorry, that was a Spanish word. They all shared in that heavenly gift. What a joy. In verse 5, and it came to pass that in the 37th year passed away also, and there still continued to be peace in the land. And there were great and marvelous works wrought by the disciples of Jesus, insomuch that they did heal the sick and raise the dead and cause the lame to walk and the blind to receive their sight and the deaf to hear. And all manner of miracles did they work among the children of men. And in nothing did they work miracles save it were in the name of Jesus. And thus did the 38th year pass away, and also the 39th, and the 41st, and the 42nd, yea, even until the 49 years had passed away, and also the 51st, and the 52nd, yea, and even until 59th years had passed away, and the Lord did prosper them exceedingly in the land. Can you imagine all those years, and they were still obedient? And they were still sharing in that heavenly gift. And the Lord did prosper them exceedingly in the land, yea, and insomuch that they did build cities again where there had been cities burned. Yea, even the great city Zarahemla did they cause to be built again. So this is after the great destruction occurred upon the land. And mountains became valleys, and valleys became mountains, and some cities were swept over by the water. But the Lord caused that these cities should be built again. In verse 10, but there were many cities that had been sunk, and waters came up in the stead thereof. Therefore these cities could not be renewed. And now behold, it came to pass that the people of Nephi did wax strong, and did multiply exceeding fast, and became an exceeding fair and delightsome people. And they were married and given in marriage, and were blessed according to the multitude of the promises which the Lord had made unto them. And they did not walk anymore after the performances and ordinances of the law of Moses, but they did walk after the commandments which had been received from their Lord and their God, continuing in fasting and prayer and in meeting together oft, both to pray and to hear the word of the Lord. Brother Alvin, I really rejoice looking on the program and seeing all the opportunities we have here in this local, in the Church of Christ, to get together, to meet together oft. And I know that the Lord rejoices in that. But even more so, it's an opportunity for our souls to grow, to swell, to have joy, to learn more. And I have to commit here tonight that I'd like to start coming to the Monday night meetings. And I felt that. I felt the Holy Spirit pulling me in that direction. I need to be here more often. And they did. They met together oft. It says, both to pray and to hear the word of the Lord. And it came to pass that there was no contention among all the people in all the land, but there were mighty miracles wrought among the disciples of Jesus. And it came to pass that in the 71st year passed away, and also the 72nd, yea, and in fine the 79th year had passed away. Yea, even 100 years had passed away. And the disciples of Jesus, whom he had chosen, had all gone to the paradise of God, save it were the three which should tarry. And there were other disciples ordained in their stead, and also many of the generation which had passed away. And it came to pass that there were no contentions in the land because of the love of God which did dwell in the hearts of the people. And there were no envyings, nor strifes, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, nor lyings, nor murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness. And surely there could not have been a happier people among all the people which had been created by the hand of God. That's everybody. There were no robbers, nor murderers, neither were there Lamanites nor any manner of ites, but they were in one, the children of Christ. They were no longer separated, the Lamanites from the Nephites. There was no prejudice because of the color of their skins, as Jacob chastised them earlier. There was none of that. There was no disputations because of the love of God. They were one, the children of Christ, and heirs to the kingdom of God. And how blessed were they! For the Lord did bless them in all their doings. Yea, even they were blessed and prospered until 110 years had passed away, and the first generation from Christ had passed away, and there was no contention in all the land. Wow, I'm counting this up. This is a rough estimate, but it was 70 and something years had passed away. That's a lifetime. Had passed away, and there was no contention in all the land. And then it goes into a small contention. But I'm not going to read that. What I wanted to read here is hope. You know, in this life, there's so much discouragement. And it's so easy to say, well, I'm not perfect. Or to shrug off our responsibilities. But wow, what a joy this reward was for them, and what it could be for us. I'm going to turn now to the 13th chapter of the second book of Nephi. And in the 19th, no. Yes, in the 19th verse. No, in the 18th verse. In the 18th verse of the 13th chapter of the second book of Nephi on page 162, 18th verse. This is Nephi. And before what I'm going to read, what he was talking about is our need to be baptized in water and how even Christ was baptized in water. He being perfect, and yet he fulfilled the commandments of the Father. And how we should also fulfill the commandments of the Father. But I'm continuing in verse 18. But behold, my beloved brethren, thus came the voice of the Son unto me, saying, after ye have repented of your sins, and witnessed unto the Father that ye are willing to keep my commandments by the baptism of water, and have received the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost, and can speak with a new tongue, yea, even with the tongue of angels, and after this should deny me, it would have been better for you that ye had not known me. And I heard a voice from the Father. I'm sorry, that was heavy. I'd hate to be in that situation. And I heard a voice from the Father saying, yea, the words of my beloved are true and faithful. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this, that unless a man shall endure to the end, in following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. Wherefore, do the things which I have told you that I have seen, that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. For this cause have they been shewn unto me, that ye might know the gate which ye should enter. For the gate which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in the straight and narrow path. And I want to stop. I gave this testimony in the Spanish service today, and I really feel like I need to give this testimony. This word is true, whether you saw it at your baptism or not, that you're baptized by fire in the Holy Ghost. I thank the Lord that I was able to see it. You see, I was baptized I thought I was baptized when I was 9 years old, in another church. And when I read the Word of God, that I was supposed to have a determination to serve Christ to the end, that I was supposed to repent of all my sins, that I was supposed to trust in the merits of Him who is worthy to save, that I was supposed to do all these things, I realized I wasn't baptized. I was not truly baptized. And so when I came before God and asked Him if I could have this baptism, I really wanted it to be right. And so I prayed that He would somehow show me that I could feel it or something that I could know. Because I didn't want to do the same thing. I knew, you know, I was probably little in faith, to be honest. Because I did have enough faith, and I did know that God was guiding me to be baptized. But I wanted to feel it. And when I was baptized, my brother Hugh Yates baptized me. And when he pulled me up out of the water, he he hugged me and he said, if you're quiet, you can hear angels singing. And I stopped and I listened. I'm sorry, there was one part I didn't tell you. When I came up out of the water, my sins, I felt them. It was like 70 pounds, and I don't know where I came up with that number, although I know that's what it was. It was 70 pounds because it was so heavy. And it went straight to heaven. Christ took away my sins, and I felt it. And so then when I felt it, I can't say I saw it visually, but I did. I don't know. All I know is I felt the heavens open. Maybe that's what it was. I felt the heavens open and I felt my sins go up. And when he said to me, if you're quiet, you can hear angels singing, I heard them singing. And it wasn't a song. It was just rejoicing. Wow, the angels are singing for my soul. And after the service was over, I was talking to my cousin, and she heard, she's not a member of the Church of Christ, but she was able to hear those angels singing as a confirmation to me that my baptism was true and that God's word is true. And so then, when the hands of the elders were laid on me and God baptized me with fire and the Holy Ghost, I felt it and my eyes were closed and all around me I saw fire, and I opened my eyes and I still saw fire, and I was able to see that God's word is true. He baptizes you with fire and the Holy Ghost. But the best part of it all was that after I was baptized, I no longer was a slave to sin. I knew that I had the power to overcome any temptation through the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost's guidance. And so I praise the Lord that His word is true. And so in verse 24 it says, for the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh a remission of your sins by fire in the Holy Ghost. That Holy Ghost cleanses. And then are ye in this straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And you know, I'll shut my mouth and just keep reading. And ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye entered in by the way, ye should receive. God fulfills his word. You keep his commandments, and he fulfills his word. And so it says that if ye entered in the way that he commanded, you would receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 27, and now, my beloved brethren, after ye have gotten into that straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ. We can't do anything in our own strength. We can't do anything in our own way. In steadfastness in Christ, relying alone on His merits, that's the way we keep His commandments. That's the way His word is fulfilled in us. Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope, and a love of God and of all men. There's that love of all men again. Having love for all men as Christ did when he would that all should be saved. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now, behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now, behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. And now, my beloved brethren, I suppose that ye ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do after that ye have entered in the way. But behold, why do ye ponder these things in your hearts? Do ye not suppose that I said unto you that after ye had received the Holy Ghost, ye should speak with the tongue of angels? We weren't baptized with that Holy Ghost for nothing. Just to be baptized and we're saved? No. We were baptized with that Holy Ghost so we could keep the commandments of the Father. But behold, in verse 3, and now could ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak with the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore I say unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things that ye should do. In another place in the Book of Mormon, it explains what his gospel is, that we should be baptized and that we should repent and be baptized and have faith in Christ to the end. And then it says we should do as he did. And here it says, wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, eat it every day like we eat our food. Consume the word of God. Read it. Feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do. Wherefore now, after that I have spoken these words, if ye cannot understand them, it will be because ye ask not, neither do you knock. Wherefore ye are brought into the light, but wherefore ye are not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark. For behold, again I say unto you, that if ye will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will shew unto you all things that ye should do. Behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and there will be no more doctrine given until after he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh. And when he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh, the things which he shall say unto you shall ye observe to do. And now I, Nephi, cannot say more. The Spirit stoppeth mine utterance, and I am left to mourn because of the unbelief and the wickedness and the ignorance and the stiff-neckedness of men. For they will not search knowledge, nor understand great knowledge, when it is given unto them in plainness, even as plain as word can be. And now, my beloved brethren, I perceive that ye ponder still in your hearts. And it grieveth me that I must speak concerning this thing. For if ye would hearken unto the Spirit which teacheth a man to pray, ye would know that ye must pray. For the evil spirit teacheth not a man to pray, but teacheth him that he must not pray. But behold, I say unto you that ye must pray always and not faint, that ye must not perform anything unto the Lord,
save in the first place, ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. Brothers and sisters, let's go forth and be steadfast unto the end. Let's do it starting today, praying for everything that we should do, that we do it unto the Father in the name of Christ. Pray unto him in the name of Christ, believing that he will use that gift of the Holy Ghost that he's given us to guide us in what we should do. He fulfills his word. Let's be obedient unto his commandments so that we won't be like these people, full of unbelief and wickedness and ignorance and stiff-neckedness. Let's search knowledge and understand great knowledge. Let's be like the people in the fourth book of Nephi who are able to reap the reward of the joy of serving Christ. God bless you all, and bless me, bless us all, that we can truly be his servants and be that bride of Christ that he wants to greet.
Thank you, Darren. And those announcements, remember, we'd like to have the young people, as soon as we close, come up here, and Dan will meet them and take care of that. Also remember our brother Bill Mann and keep him in your prayers. We're going to close tonight with hymn number 236. 236. Righteous Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truths that are found in thy word. We thank you for thy Holy Spirit. We thank you for the sacrifice of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Go with us as we leave here, that we can go safely to our homes. Prepare us and give us strength for the world tomorrow and through the next week. Watch over us in our work and our play. And Lord, help us to take advantage of the things that are offered to us, where we can meet together, pray together, testify together. Particularly, we ask that you would be with those that are less fortunate. Remember our brother Bill Mann. Heal whatever is wrong with his breathing, and just be with he and Alice. Oh Lord, accept our praise and thanksgiving, which we give in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, sir.